Tell me again. I didn't have it on. They reckon how much did they save when they knocked off the midship now?
About 4 million, just straight off.
They reckon 6 million for the mess and four million for must have been the extra cost in driving and about.
Sure, that was just for the midship. I thought it was all up.
Well, it might have been all up.
People off the mess,
all the services. Yeah.
What sort of people would they drop off the mess?
Oh, they just cut back. And plus, they a lot of the people in the mess, they never bought food at the shop.
Right. Yeah.
They just leased the mess to the max.
Never ever been seen in the shop buying groceries.
Yeah. What do you mean? People who worked at the mess.
Yes.
Yeah. Took things home.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Fed
very
them
hard
and their families
that.
And they better than what
coffee bags and things for their friends. And coffee,
yeah, I suppose.
Tea and sugar. And that's right. Someone told me about someone who had a rubbish tin, you know, a big plastic rubbish bag full of coffee and coffee bags.
So that's where they would have saved a lot of money in that.
They want to
close that mess down completely.
What would they do with the bloke? How would the single men eat them?
That's what they're doing. Well, I live in a fiveplex, and there's about six or seven of them in town, and they're two bedroom, and they offered all of us married people that were living in fiveplexes upgraded accommodation, because they want all them people out, and they're going to convert the two bedrooms, they're going to move one wall over, so that the second bedroom's only a small storage room, you've got one big bedroom, and they're going to put single people in them.
How many people would they be able to fit into that your area?
Well, there's only five actual units.
Yes.
So they can only fit five single persons in that unit.
At the moment there's 10 married people in
there. No, there's five married people.
Yeah, like, but there's five couples.
Five couples,
so
that's right.
So they'll reduce the number of blokes who can fit into people who can fit into it by half.
Yeah. You see, the single guys will have to come up here, the new starters, they'll stay in your own accommodation, go to work, come home, cook your own meals, and
will they get extra paid if paid, do you think?
No, they'll get less. And they'll have to pay probably higher rent.
Yeah.
I believe that if they're moving you out, they've offered you a house, have they, instead of
that? Upgraded.
Well, then I someone told me that you're going to have to sign new tenancy agreements.
Right.
And that'll be higher rent or sort of thing.
In case of a strike or something like that, if we go out and strike,
they can put the rent up to
$250
a week.
To $150
a week. Yeah. So in other words, if you go on strike, well then it's another deterrent to stop people striking, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the bond's gone up too, isn't it? The bond's $500.
$500 for a
bond. Yeah. What said you got to pay $500 before you move in?
Yeah.
It's worth moving house. No. Unless you're single, they'll be there because you've got better accommodation which you can get up to go in.
They'd have to do a lot of it though, wouldn't they? How many single men work here?
It's quite a few.
Not very
many
now.
Yeah, I suppose not.
Yeah,
not now.
Plus, it's saying that they're just going to convert.
But are there many of those units in town?
Well, there's two in our street, two in Harding, and there's two in Kane and two lots down the bottom. Yeah.
Doesn't sound like
so
a little
one,
it's
two,
about 100
three,
people.
Four, five, six, seven, eight. It's about 9 blocks of fiveplex. So there's only not even 50 single persons.
90, that's only about 90 people.
Mm.
No, 45 people.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll probably convert houses to single.
They're just like four places.
Yeah.
They'd have to build a lot more if they want to accommodate the whole.
Yeah.
Probably be a gradual thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they could close the mess completely.
Save a lot of money.
Save a lot more money. Yeah.
The food out at the barracks. Beautiful food. I suppose you get sick of anything, but turkey.
What is that contractors out there, like Peen Brothers?
I suppose it's KJR or something. They must have contract feed it, people who do contract people to run the mess. But it's
$450. No way. The only reason I'm sort of staying in here is because of my service and the money I've got in the profit fund at the moment. my service pay is nowhere. If I left today, there's nowhere I could walk into a job and get the hourly rate that I'm getting now.
What's that? Is what do you get a week? And what's your basic rate?
Oh, basic rate's about $3.50.
And how much over that do you get with your? There's nowhere else in the state you could get that, you mean?
No, that's right. Yeah.
So $3.50 is higher.
Not straight off. Anyway.
$3.50 is higher than you'd get anywhere else.
Yeah, for sure.
And then is that the northern allowance and the district allowances and all things in too? Is it?
No, that's all on top.
So I see. So you got any overtime
pays,
now?
Overtime will be on top of that.
How much overtime? Do you get sort of 16 hours a day, like you?
No way. We get overtime when it's there. Occasionally we get it.
How much have you had this month?
Actually, this month's been quite good. I've had a couple of Saturdays.
Mm-hmm. Everyone seems to have had a couple of Saturdays lately. Is there something going on in the mine, has there?
Yeah, well, they've got to keep the work, The work's there. They can't just say, no, you can't have the overtime.
Weren't you having a shutdown or something?
Last weekend was a big shutdown. Yeah, they had contractors in to dig the hole with the loadout, and a lot of people got overtime then. But it's sort of only on an as-is basis, really, over time. They can't sort of...
Yeah. But if you were down south, you wouldn't get as much money. But wouldn't living be cheaper?
Not really, because the rent up here is
so
cheap.
Oh, the rent.
Yeah.
That's what makes a difference, isn't
that's
it?
That's right, yeah. And if you keep out of the hotel, you can save all your money up here.
Mm.
Well, when I was contracting, I was taking home only $1,000 a week. I was getting good money, but that was a lot of hours. That was 7 days a week and sometimes 15 hours a day. But I did that for 2.5 years and I just couldn't save it because Wendy was living in a caravan in Headland. We were paying, it was pretty expensive living there then. And she was also working in the bank there. But I'd go to the hotel and have a few drinks of a night and just normal expenses like that. And when I started here, I found I could save a lot easier. A lot more. I was getting less money, but I was saving more than what I was doing when I was contracting.
Where were you living when you were contracting?
All the accommodation was paid for. My boss was paying for that.
Whereabouts? Out on the line.
Most of the time.
When you say you're putting up your linesman, what were you putting up? Electric.
Electrical power lines. Yeah.
Where to?
Well, just depending on the contracts. Contracts would only last about 6 weeks at the max.
Oh, I see.
We'd go to Tom Price. We had a job. We'd do there. Stay there for a month, probably back to Headland. I'd see Wendy for a couple of days, and then I'd go to Goldsworthy or Mount Newman or wherever the job was. And,
oh, I see.
And in those, like if we're in Tom Price, we'd stay in single accommodation there, like construction camp sort of thing. And that was all paid for. Messing was all paid for.
Oh, I see. So it was really that's where the big money was. It was in the construction stage when you were shifting all the time. And
yeah, that's right.
Oh, I see.
Suspense.
Yeah. Yes.
And like I'd come home, I'd only see Wendy sort of once a month, and so we'd go out and have dinner and have a good time, and that all cost more money. And
yeah, that's
right.
Is that right, Mum? Yeah, it's sort of the single life is sort of almost automatically a drinking life because that's where the socialising.
That's right. Otherwise, you just turn into a zombie.
Sit in your
little room all night and. You know, you get sick of reading, you can read that, but you get sick of doing that.
Yes, I was amazed at the sort of enormous number of people in the wet mess. You know, it's obviously where all the evening socialising goes on in the borough.
Mm.
Bloody hundreds of people.
Mm.
Blokes, all blokes.
Mostly blokes, yeah.
Yeah. Any women linesmen in your business?
I've never met any.
But do you reckon, have women sort of vanished more? Has there been any... Have the numbers of women, in wages jobs like TAs and that sort of thing gone down, you notice, since the strike?
Well, it's hard to say.
Well, there used to be
a lot less people here too.
Yeah. There used to be a lot more single women here operating, driving haul packs and TAs.
And they lived in the single person's accommodation, didn't
they? Yeah, they had a block, they had a woman's block there, and that was usually pretty well mostly full. But now I think there's only one girl staying there.
Yeah, well, Flicker's gone, isn't she?
Yeah.
People like Annie. I just wondered because very often when things get more conservative, sort of conservative attitudes come back in, like women not having women around.
Mm.
this lass who...
It was the unions really that sort of pushed to get the woman up here in the workforce.
Yeah.
You know, like, the company didn't really like the idea, but the union sort of says, well, look, you know, there's all these single blokes up here and, you know, fair enough. It just helps morale of the town.
Plus they can operate trucks as good as anyone.
That's right, yeah, anyone can drive a truck. The right training and that.
Yeah. Any women haul peak drivers left?
One. Yeah.
One at all. No, two.
Two, yeah.
And they'd be very married women.
No.
No, they're single, aren't they?
Yeah, one of them's, yeah.
What happened to that woman? You were talking about, Maureen was telling us about this accident of the haul peak driver who backed a truck over.
Pauline, yeah, right.
How long ago was that?
It was quite a while ago, wasn't it?
Was
eight,
it before,
9 months?
Before the strike?
Was, yeah. I think it was before the lockout, but it happened after the 3-weeker. Yeah. Because that's how she got out on PAX, because she was a cleaner in town.
Oh, yeah.
And they transferred out to the PAX.
She had an accident?
Yeah, backed over the... What actually happened? Did it give way, or...?
Yeah, well, the guy who was
spotting.
The guy was, you know, signaling her where to go. She was reversing back. You got the stockpile, which is about 20 metres high. And he just sort of went, yeah, righto, like this. And he didn't look at the back. See, what happens, you get darts, front-end loaders underneath, loading the train, digging it out,
yeah.
And it gets cut away.
I think that's what Stretch said. He said it was undermined.
Undercut, yeah.
Undercut, yeah.
And, so he didn't have a look, and she just came back, and then he had a look, the story going, and apparently he just sort of went, you know, go forward sort of thing, but it was too late. The whole thing just went straight down and flipped over on its back.
What was her name? Pauline.
Pauline Bond.
Yeah, she must have been, she only got on there, she wasn't an experienced haul pack driver.
Yeah, she wasn't that long on
there.
Because she'd been sent there after the lockout.
No, she wanted to be there.
She wanted to be there, I see. She wasn't just transferred
because
she was, you know, the company's whim.
But that sort of thing could happen, you know. Like, since that, people have been transferred out onto that sort of work with no training, yeah.
What, from cleaning and that?
Marion was, she used to work in the store, as a store person, and they didn't want her in there any longer, so they transferred her straight out to Hallbacks. You know, she's only lucky that she never happened to her.
What sort of a licence do you have to have? Do you have to have an endorsed licence?
A West Australian B class.
What's that, trucks?
Truck class, yeah, truck licence, and that covers you. And then they train you, and you don't have to have any licence on the side or anything.
And they're actually trying to go for it not to have a B class now, I heard.
Really?
Yeah, not that you really do need one, because you're not on roads or anything like that, but it was just one of those prerequisite things before you get a job here, you had to have a B class. But they're actually going for it so you don't, so they can get anyone, you know, even with their license, probably, I don't know. I know you don't have a license.
Well, I suppose. Oh, no. Well, it's interesting, you might not need, because you don't have to have a license to drive kids can drive their father's cars on the farm. Maybe if it's not a highway.
But you want someone who's at least had a bit of experience driving a vehicle before you send them out there on a pack, I would hope.
Yeah, they're very big, aren't they?
Yeah, they take a while. I was driving trucks for a while, and when I got it, first time I got on the haul pack, it sort of took me a while to orientate myself, just the size of them, and the fact that you're sitting on the one side and is that far away to the other side, it's hard to judge.
Especially in the wet.
Yeah.
So you can move around a bit in the wet and that can be scary.
Yeah.
Especially
you get one of those things sliding or something.
Yeah.
Do you stop when it's in the heavy rain? I mean, is there any... cyclones, I presume you would.
Oh, if it's too close. You know, it's going to... danger to the town, they've got to shut the mine down.
Yeah, but if there was in the wet, you still work
at the
same pace, do they work?
No, you're supposed to slow down a bit. Yeah. You have to slow down, but otherwise you can put the truck anyway.
There is locking devices on the sort of slow the wheel motors down from dry or slippery roads.
Wet and dry.
Wet and dry roads. Switch.
Okay. Yeah, it makes it all sound very dull, doesn't it? I mean, it makes coal mining sound quite exciting by comparison. It's
knitting sense.
Yes, I take your point. So really, there's not a great deal of in driving, in sort of driving the machinery. You're an enormous amount of sort of incentive or pride in your work or anything.
Yeah, that's right.
I suppose the shovel drivers might get a bit of a thrill out of it.
They get bored.
Because you don't move around much and just loading trucks.
Yes, I didn't realise. I thought they sort of roared around a bit. You know, they don't. They just sort of move along a few inches, a few feet to the next scoop.
That is a boring job too, I'd say. Very boring.
They used to, before the strike, they used to do turnabout. Like they'd do a two-hour shift. Then they'd go down to mess and have a cup of coffee, whatever, and then the other guy would do the other 2 hours, and then they'd have lunch, and then they'd swap around again after lunch for the next 4 hours. And the company says, well, no, that's a restricted work practice, we don't want that. And during the strike, when everyone was striking, when they had the foreman out there operating all the machinery, well, some foremen were on them shovels for 12-hour stretches straight, and even they were saying, I don't know how they do it. And this is the foreman, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, well, that was what Stretch was saying, that that people used to sit, you know, you were supposed to have two people on the shovel, but in fact one of them sat in the mess room and the other sat in the shovel. I suppose it must have been because of the monotony.
Mm.
Is there a big safety problem? I mean, what sort of accidents can happen with shovel? I see what happens with haul packs, they can go over the edge. Mm. But is there much danger in these jobs?
Shovel?
Not really. It's sort of the offside is supposed to keep an eye on the extension lead that plugs into the shovel.
Is that the second man in the shovel that's getting on that? Are you supposed to be outside or?
Well, no. He used to be in the cab and just sort of gets out every now and again and checks to see there's enough slack in the cable.
Mm.
You're not stretching the cable or anything like that.
I don't have that now. I don't have an offside in there. No. Yeah.
The operator's got to do it himself.
Two men on a shovel. But that's been in court too, I think, because you're supposed to have two men on a shovel, and they're saying,
They want him to be doing all the cable work or something, doing something else, don't they?
Well, Stretch said there's only one man on his shovel now, but I thought he said, I might be wrong.
No, I can't think of how it's worded. It's something, strange how they interpret it, the company. Like, we've got two people each on a shovel, but they don't want to give any bloody money out, right? So as soon as someone leaves or goes on holidays, they don't replace him. They don't give anyone a call out or a work bag, right? So that guy will have to work the whole night without an offsider.
Yeah.
They won't give anyone a bloody work bag. No.
Right, yeah.
And that's all I think it is.
Yeah.
Even though they'll still keep two men on a shovel, but if someone goes on holiday or he's sick, they won't replace him.
Cool, man. Not keeping up the manning levels.
No.
Yeah, I must ask Ken.
Graders on.
Yeah.
Putting two permanent day graders on.
Yeah.
So they're getting rid of people like that, more jobs down the drain. This used to be a good place for employment,
It used to be, yeah.
You know, when you think about it, the unions weren't pushing for money, they were getting jobs.
Yeah, they were.
Jobs to people. So there's less unemployment going around. It's not as if we're doing anything else. It's giving people jobs. Now this crew, it seems to me the government don't give us stuff either, they'd rather pay out the unemployment money and have people have jobs. And these bastards could pay it, they can afford the jobs. They,
of course they can.
Cliffs could, and there's Pico, there's such money hungry bastards, they don't get the stuff.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the employment, they don't want to do anything for you.
Where's the money going?
Right, to America and Japan.
Yeah, it's all going overseas, it's not helping the Australian economy.
Mm.
Government must be naive too,
Talking to someone last night.
Sustain.
Yeah.
He was a bit sort of in the know because of his job. And, he's saying someone's going to get shit at work soon. They're going to give him a hard time. That's on my shift. And I said, he told me who it was, and I said, why? For what reason? They don't like him.
That's it. That's all the
and they talk about it there, and they don't like him, and they can kick his ass because they don't like his humour or they don't... He just minds his own business. I know the bloke they're talking about. And he doesn't say anything,
They just don't like him.
Yeah, just doesn't like him, so they're going to give him shit.
And that's what they do. They just put more pressure on that person. Just keep more pressure until, everyone can only take so much.
I know one bloke that did that too. Johnny Chusek has just left.
Right.
And the foreman didn't like him. And he used to have a hard time. He was in a bad way for a while. I used to know the bloke. And then he just went really strange.
Yeah.
He'd be looking at you strange. He was very unsettled, wasn't happy at all, drinking a lot more. And that was because the foreman was giving him heaps of pressure, because he didn't like him personally.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I just found that out, why he was like that. And he was in a bad way because of that. And that's bad. That's where the seniority setup was so good, because they didn't have it over you. I haven't seen many bad operators here. Most people are average sort of operators. So they, I don't reckon they had any excuse to get rid of the seniority, but they didn't have it over you. You could just do your job. You didn't have to like the boss. They didn't have to like you. You could just come in and do it.
As long as the job was done.
That's
was
right.
Yeah. And if you were senior, you couldn't be shoved about.
That's right, yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So the seniority bit is gone.
Yeah.
And that used to help morale, you know, like especially a person that's been up here for 5 or 6 years and he's on the machinery. And now they get someone from Perth, just straight up, first day, and he's on that sort of machinery, you know, and he doesn't know anything that's happening in the mine. And so you've been here a few years, you think, well, what the hell's going on, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose that this has got something to do with the fact that times are hard. I mean, clearly, a few years ago, they needed all these concessions to keep the labour here, didn't they? I mean, needed cheap houses and mid-shift meals and things. Yes, I mean, they wouldn't have put them in for nothing. But it's clearly they can get people because they can keep.
So much unemployment there, yeah.
Does the employer put any money into the Provident Fund?
He does. Yeah, they pay, is it about $21 a week?
Each?
To each employee. Yeah. Actually, it's a wonder they haven't started to cut that back. I don't think they can touch it because it's totally out of their hands, I think.
Well, they must have agreed to put, I suppose they could, they probably have got it somewhere in the fine print that they can, if either party wishes to wishes to withdraw from the fund, I bet there's some way in which you could do it. It might come next, mightn't
it? That's probably next. There's a lot of things that come here. They just slowly erode everything.
And see, all these things, they aren't statewide agreements, are they? They're just local. I mean, the Provident Fund is just a on-site agreement with the company.
Yeah. So that's why it sort of doesn't affect anyone else, do they? Can't.
Yeah, it's cheery, isn't it? Mm. So in fact, you sort of, most of the old people here feel a bit on a slide, do they? That they've got time to serve before they can get out. Yes, well, it isn't very cheerful, is it? But, what about people like Mick Beard? Will he get the push, do you reckon?
Yeah, he'd be number one on the list, I think.
Oh, how come they haven't got rid of him? He's been careful.
I think he's a bit smarter than they think. But, I don't know.
She knows pretty clean
up.
And then are they still the AWU still recruiting members here, or is he sort of pulled his head in too?
Very active at the moment. Someone said they're waiting for that court or commission hearing about whether they're going to get paid, time for union meetings.
Oh,
out of work time.
If they paid, it'd be interesting to see if they did. If they did get that through, if this company will just disobey it and say, well, fine,
that's right.
Because there isn't a great deal of things. I mean, the fines aren't very big, are they? Somebody told me the company was recently been fined for something that they wouldn't do, and they just said, oh, well, $250, don't care, you know. I forget what it was. It was something in Wickham that they've just said that. They're not prepared to go along with it. I think it might have been sackings or something.
We were under the impression that they were liable for $1,000 a day while we were on strike.
It
was $1,000 a day for reneging on an order.
Yeah,
well.
order to do something. If they refused to follow that order, well, then they were like in contempt, and they were liable to be fined $1,000 a day.
Yeah.
That's what Jack Marks told us.
Yeah.
I suppose it depends on which, in which circumstances. There was something that a company refused to do since I've been here. It was either Clark was telling me, I just said, well, we're not going to do it. The fine was only $250 a day for $250 for this particular misdemeanor. And they just paid it and said, well, we don't agree.
Wasn't that in connection with the crane drivers? And they said they'd just ignore it. They were going to ignore it.
Was that because they had to ask the convener to sign before that, they took a contract crane driver on?
And they said they were just going to ignore it and pay the fine.
Which one said they'd ignore it and pay the fine? Because you've got to take it to the commission every single instance. Mm. So, you know.
That's right.
No, that's right. Then
Ken
they managed
called
to.
The meeting,
then that's what. Then Ken has organised the crane drivers outside of that. And because it's in the award that you have to ask the convener, the company can't slap a 45D on them or something.
Yeah.
Whatever a 45D is. But you can't. Because it's the award. But if, for instance, they took it out of the award, whether or not they could still maintain it, I don't know. What was the sort of thing? I mean, during the strike, did you feel like that you didn't know what was going on? That's what a lot of people sort of said. Oh, well, we didn't seem to have much information. No one seemed to know what was going on. Was there a feeling of having been cut off from the rest of the trade union movement, or was it? Were you happy with
sort
it?
Sort of. Yeah, there was a lack of communication
between on-site people and what was happening within the commission courts.
I suppose
there's rumours going around and we heard this and heard that, but no one actually sort of, you know, like they did, they come over, no, it's hard because of the distance and that, but they came over as often as they could, like once a week we'd sort of get a report back, but in the meantime the company would bring out other propaganda and sort of, the members never had anything to sort of combat what the company were coming out with. Like the company brought this out, well, we could go, well, what's this, you know, there's, and we couldn't sort of go to anybody to find out, sort of.
Suppose that's part of the isolation,
right,
just the physical isolation.
And I think there was just lack of organisation in the general union movement anyway, you know, like.
But they keep going with their normal, everyday jobs, which are keeping them busy, you know, and it's strike breaking out, they got to sort of say, well, that's tomorrow, you know, we'll think about that tomorrow, sort of thing. There's no sort of. I suppose it's difficult even to put extra organisers and things in the town because there's nowhere for them to stay.
Yeah.
What can they. Did they stay. Did they.
They usually stayed at other union officials' accommodation.
Mm.
You know.
And what and also since the strike, there seems to be a sort of a feeling that, you know, well, the Trades Hall Council, the TLC, has abandoned the town. Do you feel that's happening? Well, people look at you and say, huh, you come from the TLC, do you? Huh? You know, what's made them change their tune, or what's made them do something, or they, as you said, like people like Mike Bin said, coming up now aren't much help. On the other hand, if they
I didn't mean they're not much help, but so they're helping now, but sort of it's sort of past the fact. Like, you know, there's nothing much you can do about it now, except just sort of look back and sort of make conclusions and try and, but I mean, if those sort of people had been here at the time and sort of directed things then, it would have been sort of more help for us.
Yeah, I suppose that.
So we felt left out when the actual strike was happening. Like, nobody was sort of taking any notice. We just thought it would pass overnight type thing.
Did you think you'd win it?
I sort of thought we'd win a few things, but I thought we'd win more than this.